Our reading today is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfilment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believe, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Today's reading, that short section from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, can create some heated debates in Christian circles. One of its central themes is predestination, and so some argue that the letter is about God choosing specific people and those people having no choice in their journey of faith. God ordained it. Yet others, and I'm one of them, struggle with this. From everything I know about Jesus' teachings in the Gospels, we're all equal in the eyes of God. All who believe have a place in heaven, and Jesus died on the cross, offering salvation to all, not just a select few. We are certainly not God's robots with no freedom of choice. That's never how he intended it, not back in Genesis, when we see what happened with Adam and Eve. We can choose whether to believe in God or not, and we all make that choice at some point. We also have the freedom to change our minds. We can all choose whether we try to live by God's rules and guidance, or not bother at all. We can accept that Jesus died for us so that we can be saved, or not. So how do we reconcile the two conflicting perspectives? I think it's very much down to context. When you read the Bible, it's always really important to think about context. When Paul wrote his letters, he wrote them for church communities in specific areas with challenges that were unique to them. They were also particularly relevant for their time in history. And yet, inevitably, they touch on problems that are common to us all by the very fact that we're human and we're living in community. And that's what makes them relevant for us today. But not the same. Think about when you email or message someone. Your style and content, how you sign off, that kind of thing, is usually going to vary based on who they are and what their circumstances are when you write to them. That's exactly what we need to understand when we look at Paul's letters. Paul and many other leaders of the early Christian church were having to deal with Gnosticism. At its most basic level, Gnosticism is a belief that God doesn't place any importance on earthly matters. And stemming from this belief is the conclusion that Jesus was just a man and not God himself. The Gnostics denied what was and is at the heart of the Christian faith, that God is both fully God and fully human. Another belief system Paul was regularly having to address was one which Jesus himself constantly had to deal with. that notion that God favoured Jews above all others. Early Christians from a Jewish heritage had taken on board Jesus's message that he had come for all, and yet they still held on to the belief that all believers should convert to Judaism before they could be accepted into the Christian church. And along with that was an expectation that they would adhere to all the Jewish laws, something which was completely contrary to what Jesus taught. So we have two big movements, and there were many other movements. There were many false teachings, as there are today. And in all probability, there were some influential characters at work undermining the gospel message that Jesus died for all and salvation comes only from believing in him. It can never be earned by what we do, any laws that we follow, or being born into a specific religion, which is impossible according to Jesus's teachings. Now, when we have an understanding of what the Ephesian church was facing, we can much better understand why Paul wrote as he did. He writes in verse 4 about God choosing us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Rather than telling us that we have no choice or there is a special chosen few, Paul is challenging the false teaching that a relationship with God is only possible if you're Jewish. When he writes about us being predestined for adoption into sonship, Paul is making clear that we are all God's children. We will all inherit his kingdom. And again, that's knocking back any argument of a special chosen few or an ability to earn a place in heaven. Verses 7 to 10 can feel like a real brain teaser, and we could almost certainly pull out layers and layers of meaning. But bringing it down to its most basic and, I believe, most important message, it reinforces the fact that Jesus is God while being fully human. Then, as we move into verses 12 and 13, Paul shatters any idea that his earlier references to predestination could ever mean a lack of choice. There it is, the choices that are down to us. To place our hope in Christ, choice. To hear the message of truth, choice. To hear the gospel of salvation, choice. And to believe, choice. This opening of Paul's letter to the Ephesians was never designed to create controversy and argument, quite the opposite, ironically. It was meant to quell them back in the day with a summary of the central Christian truths. When you read it with that in mind, we can also see it as a song of praise for who God is and all that he's done for us, giving us reason for our existence, offering us hope and assuring us of salvation and a future with him when we believe. Choice.